Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Before we get started, I think most of you all have noticed that Kevin's not here this morning. Him and Libby are off together traveling, taking a little break. So John is going to be bringing the message to us. Now, before y'all all start, get up and start heading for the exits, I want y'all to know that Jason talked to John extensively. John has agreed to keep the message down to 2 hours. He's also put a cap of no more than 20 dad jokes. Depends on how the dad jokes go, we might get wrapped up sooner than 2 hours. So, as we come together, we want to welcome everyone here this morning. It's great to see everyone. We want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our great moms out there and all that you do. Thank you so much. So, as we traditionally do, everybody stand up and welcome your neighbor. Reach across the aisle, say hello. This morning, I would like to I'd like to share a verse with you. This verse is from 2 Timothy. And to give a little bit of context to this verse, Timothy has been traveling extensively with Paul. We know that Timothy and Paul were essentially the very first missionaries. And Timothy traveled with Paul to Rome, to Corinth, to Philippi, to Thessalonica, as well as Ephesus. So these are all books in the Bible, and this is all Paul's recount of their travels. And we don't know for sure. We do know that Paul spent an extensive amount of time in prison. We really don't know if Timothy was also in prison with him during some of that time or not, but we do know that their travels were never easy. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and Paul is addressing Timothy, and he says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that I grew up in a Christian household, that I grew up with a godly mother, that my mom still shares her faith with me today. And I'm so thankful that I have a wife that shares that same faith with me and my children. Our mothers are so very important to us. They are so caring and loving. And we thank you that they do so much and are often not even recognized for it. We thank you for all the blessings of life that you give us. We ask you now just to come into our hearts and our minds and open them to your word today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And as they say on Family Feud, survey says, the idea was, who are the first 3 to 5 Bible moms that you think of when you're asked? All right, so there's the question. And several of you did this. Some people texted them in. Some people did them on Facebook. We ended up with 50 responses. All right? Out of 50 responses, I'm going to give you the top. I guess, I don't know if we're starting from the bottom there. Joe, let's see what we got. Leah had 3 votes. Mary Magdalene, I'm not even sure she was a mom, had 4 votes. Hagar with 5. Lois and Eunice, who we heard about a while ago, 5. Jochebed, anybody know whose mom that was? Oh, that was good. Woo. 8 of you voted for. That's Moses' mom. Uh-huh, it's a very important person in the Bible, right? Let's see, what else we got? Rachel with 9. Eunice, 9, and Naomi with 9. There's 3 that kind of tied. Hannah, mother of Samuel, 11. Ruth with 12. We're getting there. Rebecca, 15. Elizabeth, 20. Eve, 32. Sarah. Anybody know whose wife that was? Abraham's wife, Sarah. And number 1, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Tim, we had 1 person who did not vote for Mary. You know who it was? Was it Bibi? Okay. Yeah, I was trying to, I did not know. I didn't keep track, but, hey, there we go. So we're going to talk about 7 of these today. Now, I will say this. A couple others that were mentioned that I'm not sure why. I didn't say a good mom. I said just moms. Somebody voted for Jezebel, probably the most evil person in the Bible, one of the most evil women in the Bible. Bathsheba, that makes sense in a way. She had problems, but very important. And then Peter's mother-in-law. Very interesting, because I believe she was the one that kind of that owned the upper room where they had the Last Supper. So interesting, interesting things. All right. So here we go. So a little girl was asking her mom, or I guess the mom asked the little girl, what are you getting for grandma for Mother's Day? She says, she's not a mother. She's a grandma. The mom says, well, she's actually your dad's mom. And the little girl says, that sounds like his problem then. That's a mom joke. That's a mom joke. The mom wanted to take a nap. She said, I'm not, the kids are around, I can't take a nap. So she told him, she said, I tell you what, kids, wake me up in 30 minutes so we can clean house. She slept all day. Nice nap there. So her kid said, somehow the greatest talks I ever had with my dad began with these words. Don't tell your mom, but ... Yeah, it's a great talk. I do a lot of weddings. You probably imagine this, a lot of moms involved in weddings. They come in the wedding, and one guy said, which side? And he said, I'll take the potato salad. Missed something there, yeah. I was talking with Stevie earlier, and I'm sorry, this is not a mom joke here. I'm sorry, this is a dad joke I'm about ready to tell you. But met a guy, his neighbor, that's from Boston. He's a retired police officer from Boston. And apparently he lost his khakis. I was thinking, you know, lost his khakis, but actually it was his khakis. Don't tell him I said that. We get on the Oreo website. Joe, you'll like this one. Get on the Oreo website, and it said, would you like to accept all cookies? I'm still waiting for them. They've not sent any yet. And I was telling Jonathan or Jason, this could be either one of them playing guitar, but somebody, when they were early in life, when they were young and, you know, up all night playing guitar, the neighbor knocked on the door on the wall at 4:20 a.m., Jason said, thank heavens I was up playing the guitar. Didn't wake me up. The guy hollers out, can you have a little respect, please? Jason said, well, I'm not a real Aretha Franklin fan, but this one's for you. Tim, I got three more. Can we handle it? It's getting tough. One guy was really lonely, and nobody paid any attention to him. So what he did, he took his coffee cup and glued it to the top of his car. Now everybody waves at him. So you'll think about that later and get that one. So two more, last two. Guy got pulled over at 2 a.m. 2 a.m. The police officer said, what are you doing out at 2 a.m.? He says, well, I'm attending a lecture. A lecture at 2 a.m.? I said, yeah, what's the topic? He said, dangers of alcohol, smoking, and staying out too late. Said, who's giving this lecture? My mom. Last one. Thief broke into our house searching for money. So I got up and joined the search. And that's it. Last one. Give me a hand for stopping. Yes. That's it. I think. Seven lessons for Bible moms, Mother's Day here. All of you are, you know, at one way or another are celebrating. And we have a video that kind of talks about this. Did we miss that video, Joe? Did I already skip over that? We got the video that will tell us all different types of moms that we're celebrating today. Switching mics, a good job. The videographers brought in lights that you would put up like in a parking lot or a construction site. And I'll tell you what, they were the most beautiful photos because it looked like a movie set. But that guy affected so many people with what he did. That happens all the time. The things we do affect many other people. Look what Eve and Adam, their effect it counts. Second mom that we talk about, and we talk about this a little bit, Jochebed. I misspelled it up there. That's B-E-D at the end if you want to be precise. Jochebed, if you remember, Pharaoh was killing all the male Hebrew babies. And she had Moses. And for 3 months they hid him. And finally they couldn't hide him any longer. So she designed this little basket, put it out in the Nile River, and had his sister Miriam watch over it. If you want to read that whole story, you can see it in Exodus chapter 2. You think about this, Jochebed, Miriam, Moses, and the basket. And then, one day, the baby is discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. This is totally a God thing, right? And Miriam rushes up, seeing what's happened. The sister rushes over and says, as the Pharaoh's daughter falls in love with this little baby, and says, I know a Hebrew lady who can help take care of him. And she goes back and gets Moses' mom to come and take care. Eventually, they allowed Pharaoh's daughter to take Moses into the palace. And if you remember, he became second in command, right up there with Pharaoh. And eventually led the people out of Egypt. What do we learn from this? Well, there had to be strength, creativity, and wisdom. We saw all of those in Jochebed, all of those ideas. One of the wise things I heard of a mom that said she was going to take her son or daughter or husband's suit to get it fixed at the dry cleaners. Said it was $15, get it dry cleaned and pressed. So she thought about it, said, all right, took it over to Goodwill. They cleaned it, pressed it. She went back in the next day and bought it for $4. So that's the kind of wisdom and creativity that moms have sometimes. Think about what Jochebed did, putting the baby in that basket to save his life. Think about talking to Pharaoh's daughter about adopting this little baby and bringing him up in Pharaoh's palace. So there are things that all of us can learn: strength, creativity, wisdom. Third mom that we see is Hannah. Yeah, you see, Hannah was the mom of Samuel. And she began to pray. She was very upset, very sad. We'll read this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, near the beginning and near the end. It says, she made a vow saying, Lord God Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me that I asked of him what I asked of him. Now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will give him over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. She took him to the temple, presented him to Eli, who was the priest there in the temple. And Samuel was raised right there in the temple, become a prophet. If you remember, he was the one that anointed Saul and David. He went and picked out David as the next king. It's an amazing story about Samuel, two books of the Bible named after him, because his mom dedicated him to the Lord. So the lesson there is for us, all of us, to dedicate our children and our teens to God. And when you do, you can stand back in awe and watch what God does. Truly dedicate them to the Lord. We sometimes have a child dedication. You see it right there. And if any of you have little ones that you'd like to participate in a child dedication service, Pastor Kevin will be glad to do that. We would love to do that, where we pray for that child, give them a child's Bible, a children's Bible, and just promise to raise them up in God's way, dedicating their life to him. My mom was an identical twin. She passed away right near Mother's Day 11 years ago. I think she had three funeral services, one in Michigan, one in Kentucky, and then a burial also in Kentucky. And I think one of those services was exactly 11 years ago today. But she and her sister were identical twins. It was Betty Sue and Mary Lou. Isn't that cool? That's a Southern thing. But when they were real little, they had polio. And back then, polio would kill. I mean, it was a disaster if you had polio. It was like it would kill you before we have all the vaccines for polio. My grandmother and grandfather, we called her Nana and Dadaw. That was them, up in Middlesboro, Kentucky. They said they remembered kneeling down and praying beside the couch where those little girls were, those little babies. Said, Lord, if you save their lives, we want to dedicate their life to you, to serve you. Well, they made it. They survived. My aunt ended up being a lifetime missionary to Japan. She went to Japan knowing as she was single, they said, if you go to Japan as a single mom, a single lady, you will never get married. There are no Christian men there to marry over there. It's on like 99% other religions. The first person she met, I think, when she got over there was my Uncle Wayne, who was in the Air Force. Yeah, so much for that, right? She followed those steps. And today, her daughter Barbara, I know she's probably even watching. She's in Birmingham. Her husband is a music minister there. My mom said at an early age, I'm going to marry a pastor. God's calling me to be a pastor's wife. And I'll live anywhere but Michigan. Well, guess what? She did marry a pastor. They started a Southern Baptist church in Hillsdale, Michigan. It is in Southern Michigan. A little bit north of us, though. So when you dedicate your child, it's scary, folks. Parents and grandparents, I pray that every day you're dedicating your children to God and say, they're yours, Lord. Because some of them will be called to the mission field. Some will be called pastors. Some will be teachers and plumbers, carpenters, drummers. There'll be all kinds of different things, but you want them to be servants of God. Dedicate them to the Lord. And then the fourth one, this is a couple. Naomi and Ruth. Some of you had put them down. Great, great story there as you think about this couple. It was a daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law. Naomi, the mother-in-law, Ruth, the daughter-in-law. And look what Ruth said. As Naomi told her, said, you need to leave and go back. As her husband had died, she said, you need to leave and go back. Find a husband that can take care of you. And here's what she said to Naomi. She said, don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I will live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. And where you die, I'll die, and that's where I'll be buried. A lot of times in weddings, they use this passage to talk about, I'm committed. There's a loyalty there. As a matter of fact, let's look at the lesson that's to be learned. Is family commitment and loyalty is vital. That commitment to one another. And if you were going to underline a phrase in that whole passage, I would say it would be where it says, your God is my God. I know many times that couples get married and they're both aren't committed to the Lord. If you have a couple, man and wife, that are committed to the Lord, it is an incredible advantage. It's exactly what God called us to do. It says that in the Bible, not to be unequally yoked. And I've asked many, I think I've told you this before, doing the broadcasts up at Charleston Southern, and we go over there and it's like NCAA Division I, volleyball, basketball, whatever it is we're doing. And I'll go over to the coach of the opponents and I say, Coach, I got a couple questions. How do you pronounce this name? And then I'll say, and what's your favorite book of the Bible? What in the world? I asked that to the assistant coach, volleyball coach at Presbyterian College. And she said, Ruth. And I said, are you married? Because I was going to ask her if she used it in her wedding. She goes, I got to go. And she ran off to do the serving or something like that. Then I asked the coach, I said, Coach, what's your favorite book of the Bible?
She said, Romans. And she showed me her ring. It had Romans 8:38. All things, let's see, is it 28? All things work together for the good of those who are called in his name. Surprising question for these folks, but it's always good to get an answer. Some of you know this. My son now caddies with Bubba Watson, who is actually a good, he's a strong Christian. And he's got a book called Ups and Downs. Every chapter talks about Jesus, talks about his faith. But the week of the Masters, I got to go up on Monday, and I got to spend an hour with his family there at the house. It was raining like this, and we got to just hang out. And so what did we talk about? What's your favorite book of the Bible? So I hope you do that too, sometimes with your family, talk about it. But Ruth, if you've not read it recently, read that great little book about loyalty to your family and to God most of all. Number five. This is one that nobody voted for because it's not really a person, but it's the mom of Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, see a great photo there, a little boy hugging his mom, but it's almost like this picture of a mom or a woman that's almost impossible. Everything in there is something just fantastic. But if you want to study about a godly woman, and a man can do this too, we can study it as well and say, hey, what is it that we want to strive for in our lives to be like God? I love this little passage that says in there, it talks about she is clothed with strength and dignity and can laugh at the days to come. There's a joy in a person that's committed to the Lord. There's a joy in life. Now, you say, hey, does that mean there's no tough times? There are tough times. God tells us there are going to be difficulties. There are going to be trials and there are going to be tribulations. But we choose whether or not to approach each day with joy or with bitterness and anger. You can choose. You walk into a place and you say, you know, I'm going to make a difference. It reminds me of the guy he was interviewing for a job. Two guys were lined up. They both were coming in. And the first one said, what's it like around here, to the people interviewing? And he said, well, tell me about your last job. See, man, it was tough. People argued with each other. There was division. There were problems. Everybody was mad. Nobody wanted to work hard. And the guy who was doing the interview said, I think you'll find this place much the same. Oh, boy. Second guy comes in. Interviewer says, what was your last job like? He said, oh, it was great. I didn't really want to leave. He said, everybody got along. They did well. We were productive and efficient. It was a joy to work there. And the guy said, well, you'll find this place much like that. What's he saying? You bring it with you. You bring it with you. Make a difference as you go through. Proverbs 31, moms. I think that is just a beautiful picture. To be resourceful, hardworking, compassionate, and full of reverence to God. Full of reverence to God above. I've been listening to a guy named Skip Heitzig. I don't know if anybody's heard of. In our Bible study, we're going through the whole Bible on Thursday. So, what, we got another week or two of that, Jason? Probably another year of that. But next week we're studying Gomer. Anybody know where that is? The book of Hosea. Hosea's wife's name, Gomer. I'm thinking Gomer Pyle, you know, in the middle. So anyway, we're going through. Skip Heitzig does this thing on, it's on YouTube. You can listen in. I jump in my car and I listen to the next book that we're talking about. It's called, for instance, Hosea from 30,000 Feet. And he gives you an overview of the whole book in 1 hour. So he was talking, the other day I was listening, he was talking about his wife. Her name is Linnea, L-I-N-Y-E-A, from Hawaii. And he said they started dating. She was working in a group, and she said one night she wanted to fix dinner for Jesus. He goes, what? Yep. She says, I'm fixing dinner for Jesus. It's just going to be me, a meal, and an empty chair. And I'm just going to enjoy talking to Jesus. That's pretty cool. He thought, man, that's pretty neat. Well, then they came along there, and he was, one night he was over at her house. She had moved over to the 48 states to the mainland from Hawaii. And he was at our house, and he said he got real romantic. And some of you guys are going to relate to this. Some of you ladies may also. And he did. He said it came over him, and he said it. He said, "I love you, Lenny." And she said, "Thank you." Not what he expected. He said, and he went home going, I bombed, man. That was a horrible thing. I say I love you, and she says, "Thank you." But so the next day he's at work, he's in the radiology lab or something, and they page him over the thing and says, "Phone call for Skip Heitzig from Lenny." Ooh. So he goes and picks up the phone. And on the other end you hear, "I love you too." Chill bumps right there, man, thinking about that one. You know what she said? She said, "I didn't tell you I love you too last night because I had to go back and ask Jesus about it." Wow. That's a relationship. That's commitment. To have that relationship with Christ to where you talk to him about everything. To have that wonderful relationship. Well, the next mom is the one that had the most votes. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And there you see the picture. It says, if you look ahead in Luke chapter 1, various verses there, it says, "The angel reassured Mary, 'You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus.' Mary said to the angel, 'But how? I've never slept with a man.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God.' And Mary said, 'Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say.'" What is the lesson here? The lesson here from Mary, I think, is for us to humbly serve, to be consistent in worship, and discover God's amazing plan for your life. We see Jesus and Mary there. She was beautiful inside and out. She was humble. She was consistent. And she was chosen. Folks, guess what? You've been chosen as well. You've been chosen to do a unique ministry, a unique calling that nobody else has. Whatever you do that God has called you to do, do it with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength. God has called you to be the best at whatever it is that he's placed in your life. He called Mary to be the mother of his son, the earthly mother of Jesus. What is God calling you to do? I think that's the lesson that we learn from Mary. And then finally, the seventh couple here, as we heard earlier, as Tim read it, Lois and Eunice, grandmother and mother. You see them there kind of looking over Timothy. And it says again, we just heard, it says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." So what's the lesson here? That we should leave a legacy of faith and grace with our children and grandchildren. Whatever it is that we pass on as we see families coming together. You know, the heroes of the world, if you watch TV, the heroes are the basketball players and the golfers and the actors and the singers, all these famous folks that are making millions of dollars. But you know what? I think the real heroes are the moms and dads who are leading their children into church on Sunday morning. The moms and dads who are getting up and making sure their shoes are ready to put on and their clothes are ready. And they're bringing them to church. Those are the real heroes. Have you ever noticed that, speaking of athletes and all, many times a great athlete will have a son or daughter who's also a great athlete. Think about that a minute. Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. Muhammad Ali, do you know his daughter was a boxer? LeBron James and his son now playing a little bit. Tiger Woods has a son and a daughter playing golf. You also see politicians, actors, singers, farmers, whatever the job is, some will pass on to the next generation. So my question to us, to all of us, is are we passing on the faith to be followers of Christ to the next generation? I will say that one thing about Bill Tanner. We had Bill do our communion several times in our small group. And I'll never forget the time that we had him doing the Last Supper, the communion over there in the fellowship hall. His granddaughter, named Madison, came all the way from Somerville or some, I can't remember. She came from a long way off. She was a student or a teacher at that time. Might have even taken the day off. She wanted to come and be a part of her grandfather giving communion. And Bill, without much strength, he didn't have a lot of strength at that time, but he would go around and tear off the bread and hand it to each person. And when he came to her, I know that was a very, very special moment because he saw in her what Eunice and Lois saw in Timothy. The faith had been passed on. And to this day, if you get a chance, and you surely can tell you about Madison, she is an incredible young lady, Christian mom, as she passes this on now to her next generation. So there are the challenges, folks. We see this story. I have a picture up of a groom. I was a little upset because I found out that this story might be kind of a fictional story. I always thought it was real. It's where the mom, young boy went to school, and he was doing pretty good in first grade. His name was Teddy. Second grade, he got a little worse. Third grade, the teacher wrote something like, he's not very sociable, he's not doing well, his mom is very sick, and I think he needs remedial work. Fourth grade, the teacher just didn't like him at all. She just did not like Teddy. Put F's on his papers, red marks all over. And then they found out that year that his mom died. Well, at Christmas time, the same teacher, Mrs. Jones, said, you know what? She found out his mother had passed on. She knelt down beside her desk and said, when those kids come back in January, it's going to be a different classroom. I'm going to treat Teddy and everybody else like I think Jesus would treat them. And they came in, and there at Christmas time, and then beyond, she began to show them the love that Christ would show. And all of a sudden, Teddy started to improve. Teddy's grades started to come up. He started to get along with others. And he began to love that teacher, Miss Jones. At the end of that year, they went on, they graduated. She didn't think much more about it, but about 8 years later, she got a message, a little note, and it said, Miss Jones, I wanted you to be the first to find out I'm graduating valedictorian of my class, Teddy Stollard. She was blown away. He said, I want to thank you for being a great teacher. 4 years later, she gets another message and says, Miss Jones, you won't believe it. I'm graduating from college and I'm going to be top of my class. Thank you for being my teacher. 3 or 4 years later, she gets one more. She gets another note. It says, as of today, I am Teddy Stollard, MD. And then at the end it said, and I'm getting married. And I would like for you to sit where my mom would have sat. She just in tears. Of course she did that. She came and sat in that spot. She had filled a role in his life that literally turned his life around. To go from that kid that everybody struggled with, they didn't like, to the one who became a doctor and a groom in his wedding. Miss Jones. Now, here's our question is review these things that we talked about. Remember that our actions affect many people. Secondly, be strong, creative, and wise. Maybe you need to pick out one or two of these. Number three, dedicate your children, your loved ones, and yourself to God. Fourthly, be committed and loyal to your family and to God. Fifth, be resourceful, work hard, be compassionate, worship God consistently. What does it take to keep you away from worshiping God and His family? I love right here is the family that we enjoy together. I tell you, in our small group, and David, I hope it's okay if I say this, David reminds us every week how great this church is. He says, you guys don't know. He said, you have a church here that's amazing. Be a part of it. Be a part of this family. Enjoy it. Look at the last two. Be a humble servant, consistent worshiper, as we said. Seek God's plan. And lastly, leave that legacy of faith and grace with children, grandchildren, some of you great-grandchildren, as they come along. All right? Let us pray. Father, today as we think about this message of moms and grandmothers and aunts, dads, granddads, those of us who may not have, some who don't have children, maybe are single, but also can fill that role of showing love to children and youth. May all of us seek to be more like these moms, the lessons that we've learned today from these moms in the Bible. Lord, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we all have moms. We pray that some, as we saw in the video, did a better job than others, and yet we honor each one. Lord, help us to be more like you, more like Jesus in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. So today, as we do every week, there's going to be a lot of ways you can respond. There might be a prayer request that you have. You can put it on that Connect card. If you have new contact information, you can put that on there as well. Maybe somebody here today is saying, hey, for the first time, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to put my faith and trust in Him. You can check that off as well. During this time also, you can take communion. We talked a little bit about communion. There's a station in the back. There's one here in the front, two in the back. And you can be remembering that great sacrifice that Jesus made, His blood, His body that was broken for us. Maybe you want to come up here and just put a praise or a concern on the cross. It's just between you and God. You want to just nail it to the cross. You can do that. There are papers and pen right here. If you want to come down here and pray, you can do that. I'll be down here at the front. Janine will be here as well. If you'd like to come and pray, we'll be here for that as well. Again, a lot of ways. And I tell you another thing you might want to do today, especially younger folks that are here. If you want to go to your mom right here and just say, Mom, I just need to say thank you and I love you. And you can do that during our time. People will be up and moving around, so it won't be unusual. But you can do that as well. All right? Special word of thanks. I don't know if you notice this, but when I preach, there's all kinds of stuff flying up on the screen. Give a big hand to Joe in the back for what he does. Get me stuff together. I'll tell you what. We have announcements that are coming up here. Look up there on the screen. You'll see those flying in, I think. There they are. Small groups, as we mentioned earlier. We have a brand new small group meeting on Wednesdays at noon. I think they had 12 or 13 folks out. And then the class of 2025, if you have a graduate in your family, we probably already know about it, but if you would like to write that on that card, turn that in. We would love to honor the graduates. That's going to come up. It won't be Memorial Day. We'll probably be the week after that, and we will do that as well. Kidded around, Tim came up last week and told me, he said, we will not be doing the Burger Bash on Mother's Day. We will not be doing the bash. It will be next Sunday night. And so the youth, the Pickett's House, what's that address, Tim? Holler it out. 1596 Teal Marsh. So next week we'll have that up. I'll get that up there as well. And then on May 29th, many of you have helped with the James Island Outreach. What a great ministry that is to help our community with the needs of food, those who are hungry. So again, thank you and happy Mother's Day to everybody. We have happy Mother's Day. I know you're out celebrating now, so let's do that. Let's pray together as we go. Get the little gift out there, moms, as you leave. Lord, thank you for this day. Speak to us again about what we need to know and what we need to do as your followers as we learn that lesson for moms and grandmothers. Lord, today we are emotional. thinking of the love that they've given to us. We thank you for that. Now, lead us out of here safely and ready to share the love and joy that you've put in our hearts. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And what a friend we have. Amen.